Okay.
Shh.
Okay, so Ezra, what, before you read it inside, what does the Baal Amar have to say? Okay, very good. Excellent. Okay, so he thinks that the Hilchach Neminu L'chulu isn't B'Torah Safek. Right? That's the Ravid's argument. He thinks Hilchach Neminu L'chulu is because there are different Chadrei Torah. Okay, it's true that there are four mentioned in the Gemara, but he's focused basically that Medrash and Gemara are one, because he says Medrash is like the Yid Gimel Midos, Sh'Torah Nidrashes Bahen. So the Baal Amar, right, wants to say Hilchach Neminu L'chulu isn't B'Torah Safek, it's B'Torah Zva'adai. And it connects to different Chadrei HaTorah. And then he's bothered by something in the end, which is that, well, wait a second. That applies to when you're learning, but... So then you just fall back on the Rav Hamnuna, Zema'ula Shebibrachos. And he leaves it there. And he left, of course, himself vulnerable to the attack of the Ravid Ben Zion, which is that, if you really believe, right, that... It's the Me'ula Shebibrachos. Well, again, the Baal Amar doesn't think it's a Safek, but if you're really willing to say that it's the Me'ula Shebibrachos and Kriya HaTorah, right, so then what role does each have to play in the world of personal learning? So that's more or less what the Ravid is. Let's say out the Ravid's questions in a second. So first, the Ravid gives him a hard time on the math, right? Akiva? Yeah, because the Baal Amar wasn't so crisp. Sometimes he said Rabbi Yochanan was Messiah, but then he clearly referred to it as three brachos, showing you that he's with the Rif and not Rabbeinu Tam on the question of two versus three. So the Ravid gave him a little bit of a hard time about that. But most importantly, he says, let's assume the Baal Amar is correct for a second, right? And that it's not B'Torah Safek that we said Hilchach Leminu L'chulu, but it's because we need a bracha for each independent area. So what bothered the Ravid? Rabar?
Then how can we say it like the way we do? We don't just make three brachos for three.
Yeah, whoever heard of such a thing, right? If you're assuming that it's all Limud HaTorah, right? So when do you have multiple brachos over a single mitzvah? Now, again, if you say it's B'Torah Safek, that's one thing. Then you get into a different issue, which the Ravid himself is going to get into. But if you say that it's B'Torah Vadai, that it's an absolute requirement to recite all of these brachos, right, because of Mikra, Mishnah, / Medrash, Talmud, right, so then what exactly is the conceptual foundation of that? It's all Talmud Torah, right? And then he throws in like an additional question, which isn't nearly as strong, but he says, but by the Baal Amar's own lights, it's very strange, because what should the order have been? Bracha 1, and then
Mitzvah 1.
Bracha 2. Bracha 2, and then Mitzvah 2. Bracha 3, and then Mitzvah 2. So, in the end, no surprise here, the Baal Amar is Nidcha B'Shtei Yadayim, and the Ravid says, Hilchach Neminu L'chulu Noam is not B'Torah Vadai, but it's B'Torah Safek. Okay, we really weren't sure, right? And so, Hilchach Neminu L'chulu, okay, that's because we're not really sure what the appropriate way to make the Bracha is. Ah, you'll tell me Kriyas HaTorah, right? Kriyas HaTorah, we are Machriya. Kriyas HaTorah, we recite the Me'ula Shevi Brachos. So what does he want to come back and say? After all, makes sense to say the Me'ula Shevi Brachos. The Ravid says you avoid which problem? Brachol HaTorah, good Akiva. So what conclusion does he end up coming to? He says, really? Maybe the Safek isn't such a terrible Safek. Maybe by the time we get to Me'ula Shevi Brachos, we really had an idea of what the right bracha to say is. But it says, but we couldn't bear to... go ahead, Ephraim.
Take out the bakasha.
Right. So the bakasha is so intrinsic to the individual process of Talmud Torah, Shelo Yikashel Ba, that we couldn't just bear... We couldn't bear to leave it behind. Okay? So as the Ravid develops his thought process here... Right, even though he starts off by saying, you know, it's really B'Torah Safek, he comes more to the conclusion that we really meant it when we said Me'ula Shebibrachos, in terms of Asher Bach Rabbanu Mikol HaAmim, But in the individual process of limud, as opposed to the mitzvah of kriyas haTorah, hopefully you prepared your laning, right? The bakasha that we should not be nichshol, but divrei Torah is so strong that we couldn't bear to leave that behind. And if it's attached, let's say, to the bracha of Shmuel, so then we'll end up, with all those brachos in the context of personal learning. And look, you know, that's why we have Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, b'shash nechnas adon beis hamedrash, right? A very, very powerful idea. So, you know, again, the Ravid like totally rejected the Baal HaMor. But do we have to completely reject the Baal HaMor? I mean, it does, the way the Ravid presents it, it seems a little funny, you know, if it's a Birchas HaMitzvah, then A, you should line up the Birchas HaMitzvah to the Maisa, right? Kol HaMitzvahs Mivarchen Aleim Over La'asiyasan. And if it's all, you know, part of the same mitzvah, why would you require multiple brachos? Those seem like legitimate questions, but Akiva, go ahead. Good boy. What do you think? But explain what you mean by that. Why would there be a separate Birchas Hodah on Mikra versus Mishnah versus Talmud / Medrash?
If we're saying that the Birchas Hodah is for the opportunity to learn,
okay,
Hashem gave each of these disciplines of learning in a different way and at a different time.
Okay.
You have to think on each and every opportunity. So the same way I don't just think Hashem at the start of my life, Birchas Hodah for the opportunity to learn, every time I sit down,
I just want to push you a little bit. Is it sort of like the subjective and experiential dimension that is mechayev a different Birchas Hodah? Okay, so then sharpen it. So then what are you really saying? Why are you obligated to, right? I mean, I don't have to make a different Birchas Hodah over pizza, right, than I do over, a tuna sandwich.
But they all do have different qualities.
No, but I understand. Why I'd say, pizza is different than a tuna sandwich. Maybe it should be a different bracha. Maybe we could talk about the tuna sandwich, you could talk about the lettuce and the tomatoes. No, I'm saying the bracha achrona. You bench differently when you had pizza versus a tuna sandwich? What's that? You just assume that you do the right thing and you bench when you have pizza, okay? So, yeah.
I have an answer, but I just want to come up. The question is, why do we make the same bracha on all these things?
He thinks that there are different brachos, which correspond to Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud. I agree with Akiva. The Baal HaMor makes a whole lot more sense if the Ravid misunderstood his premise. But why would there be different Birchos Hodah?
Same thing with food, right? A vegetable, it's very quick. It doesn't take a lot of time to grow. It's not such an intricate process. But then you actually get some fruit, which actually has to grow up. And it takes a lot more time. It takes a lot of caring.
Okay, but
bread.
Yeah, but in terms of Birchos Hodah, La'achra HaMazon. Okay, so now we're getting interested. This is good. This is good, Ezra. So you're saying the reason that you might be mechayev a different Birchas Hodah is that there's different aspects that we want to be grateful for. One of them is the opportunity to have connection with Dvar Hashem. Maybe that's what Mikra is. But once you start getting, let's say, to Medrash and to Talmud, the Hodah shifts a little bit because it has a lot to do with our involvement. Right, maybe we're not just thanking Kadosh Baruch Hu that we got to receive the Torah, but that we get to be somehow partners in the process. Right. Okay, so good. So I think that's an interesting way of looking at it. Levi?
So, of course, I'm not sure if the comparison to the Torah and the idea of the Baruch Hu and the Torah.
Right.
Sure. Something like, you see on your pizza, you bench up to both. We also, according to this, you two different Mishnayos, right, from two different, you have one from Ezekiel and one from Nashua.
Right.
Even though they're different, according to they still fit in the same category. So if you think about it like that, then you could say, then the people, not saying I agree with this, but it makes sense that the people like I think Ezra was trying to say this at one point, was that people try to say that it's kind of like, you know, vegetables versus fruit versus bread. Same thing here, where it would be like here from time, because they wouldn't. Like, who do you compare? Like, Midrash and Mishnah is like, Midrash is to Mishnah as tuna is to Mishnah. Midrash is to Mishnah is like cucumber.
I gotcha. Right.
So,
okay.
Well, I'm reminded of a Gemara.
Yeah.
I don't know where it is. But a Gemara that says like someone only learns Mikra, he's like one old Hapa is like very small or something, and someone learns only Mishnah is like a medium. But then like the Baliyah Talmud. The real juice is in Gemara.
Right, like we have in Rashi here, the, you know, the Ikar HaTorah. Misham Teitzei Hora, so this is a Gemara in Sota Chaf Beis, just like that. I wanted to show you Gemara in Brachos Daf Hei Amud Aleph, right, which is interesting in this regard, because it allows for the Hodah that we believe that sort of each one of these Chadrei HaTorah both is distinct but also something over which we might give Hodah, but in different ways. It's just something to think about. And maybe this is a possible yishuv for the Baal Amor, if we're, you know, willing to say that the Ravid may have been sort of misunderstanding what it was the Baal Amor was trying to say. That the Baal Amor wasn't really talking about the Birchas HaMitzvot side, but the Baal Amor was really talking about in terms of Hoda'ah for different aspects of Torah. So this is the Gemara Daf Hey. So Amar Rav Levi Bar Chama. Okay, Anderson, go ahead. So I'm Rav Levi Bar Chama, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. So five lines up from where the lines elongate. Hey, Amud Aleph. Okay, so what's happening here in these psukim? What's the context of these psukim? Go ahead, Ephraim.
Hashem's telling Moshe, come up to Har Sinai, so then you can get these things.
Right, and there seems like there are different categories here, right? Luchos ha'even, whatever Torah is, whatever mitzvah is, Asher Kasafti is, and Le Horosa. So let's take a look at how the Gemara darshins.
Interesting.
Right? Right, because that Misham Teitzei Hora. Why am I having us read this Gemara now? Why do we, I mean, it's a nice Gemara, but what's my point? Shai?
There are no specific levels of the Torah that we're discussing. With all of them, we should all think HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're giving them to us. It's not...
Right, so the way that the Pasuk is formulated is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us in a distinct way different Chadrei HaTorah, right? The Gemara is darshaning them, not as just, you know, one big, you know, some amalgam of Torah, but that each one sort of is its own lane. And it's interesting, you know, what does it mean? Asher kasavti, neviim uksuvim, right? A lot of these things are events that haven't happened yet, but it's a fascinating thing. And so, you know, this Gemara is one of these, you know, mamari chazal that helps me think about the Baal Amor in maybe slightly different terms, you know, as some of you were suggesting, and I agree, Akiva, with your basic premise, right? So when we think about each one of these being a matana, vetna lecha, you know, colon, as lucho sa'evin, v'hatorah, two, v'hamitzvah, three, asher kasafti, four, lahorosam. So maybe each of these, you know, has its own integrity, it's its own discipline, you know, and therefore, you know, each one is mechayev, its own, you know, hodah. The idea that each one is its own discipline is you don't need this Gemara for. I think this Gemara really thinks about each of them as a different kind of a matana. And I agree, Ezra, with what you said, that part of the difference of the matana has to do with the work that we have to put in. Were you alluding, by the way, to the famous shir that the Rav gave on that when you talked about Birkas HaMazon? Okay, so the Rav is, you know, he's like a very famous shir that he gave. He says, you know, when you pick an apple off a tree, you know, all you have to say is a bori nefasha. So that's a midivrei sofrim. But when you're the one who put in all the work, right, Ben Sion, to make it from grain into, you know, a beautiful, lafa, then all of a sudden you have to say, a lot more in terms of thanking Kaddish Baruch Hu. So kind of an irony there, right? You would think that the apple, you'd have to go on about how God made the apple tree, and, what do you really do in this whole process? And when you're the one who makes the lafa, you should say, thanks, Rotblat. That took me a long time to do this, right? But he said, on the contrary, this is a famous Yiddish here that he gave. Yeah. So you can get it on YU Torah. It's on the earliest thing. If you put it in reverse order, you can listen in Yiddish. He came up with this yesod, is that the more human initiative there is, the greater the Hakaras HaTov happens to be. So the Torah equivalent to this would, of course, be Gemara, right? That's where you have the greatest human initiative, as opposed to Mikra, where you're, again, just reading the Psukim. Again, you don't need this Gemara to establish that there are different disciplines. What I'm using this Gemara for is that each one is its own Matana, and theoretically, each one could be Mechayev, its own Bracha, in terms of Hodah, but here's where I think it becomes really interesting. This is where the other question of the Rav would then fall away. If it's a Birchas HaMitzvah, so then maybe his point of Kol Mitzvahs Mevarchin Aleihem Over L'Asi Yasan should have a Bracha and then a Maisa. But if it's a Birchas Shevach V'Hodah, then it makes a lot more sense to do what?
Say
all of the Brachos together, right? Because we're grateful for all of the different Chadrei HaTorah, it actually, I think, works out much much smoother if that really is what the Baal HaMorah has in mind. Can I take a Shavuot D'Oraisa B'Nikitas Chayfet that's what the Baal HaMorah had in mind? No, but I think at least it does a lot more justice to the questions of the Ravid. Okay, very good. Now, on that note, how many of you started to see the Rush? Okay. So the Rush, deals with the issue that everybody else deals with. We'll take a look at a great deal of it inside. But let's just begin with the premise. Israel, what the basic premise that the Rush deals with is, after he gets through the Ava Rabba stuff, and he says, my basic assumption is that it's only with respect to Ava Rabba that you'll have to learn right away, but even if you would say that is true of Birchas HaTorah also, he gets to the issue that everybody wants to get to. And if this is a standard Birchas HaMitzvah, then why in the world don't you have to say a bracha each time you learn? And what's more or less the answer that the Rush wants to give to that question? Who wants to say the question over? Got Yehuda? Yeah, every mitzvah works that way, right? What's that? Right, but let's say you took your talis gadol off. Yeah, of course. It's a question of a talis shu'ula or not, but let's say it's yours. Yeah, so again, unless you explicitly had in mind when you put it on, then that's considered a hafsek. Yeah, you should make another bracha. Same thing with tefillin. Make another bracha, you come back from the bathroom. So what's the basic logic of the Rush? Ezreal, go ahead. Well, we're going to see it inside, but what was his argument? So Ezra, what did he say? Who saw the Rush? Kaylan? Right, so he has this idea, it's not really even latent awareness. If you read the Rush carefully, it sounds like you're pretty active awareness, right? That you're memarin, you're running around so that you can get back to your, you're carrying your svarim with you. You're bumping into people. You're walking down the street. People are honking at you. It's that kind of a scenario. Okay, so let's read it inside. That's what the Rush has to say on the topic. Who's reading the Rush? Okay, Eitan, go ahead. So why don't we pick it up after he gets through some of the Ava Rabba things. Okay, so Az, let's start from Az. V'az lo yitzarech levarach chaloso yom. Afilu yifsok lo mod v'yachser v'yom mod. Where would be? V'chein ha-mevarech ala Torah. V'lamad ein tzarech lachser levarech im hifsik be'emtza. Kachot tzarech lomar v'ushashon ala Torah ala nitzar be'ava rabba. V'lo ha-mevarech v'rachas ha-Torah. Right? Yilo se'mahachi ha-yilo lishmini. There's a big piece missing in the Gemara. To have sake, Shiva'em to Asek, to have you have sake, Mitzarech Lach Slevarech, Kol Shekena Nifter Baba Rabba. Okay. Ve'af, im Tim Salomar, Dein Chiluk, Ben Nifter, Rechazato, Nifter Baba Rabba, Mikomakom. Mikomakom. This svara is so powerful that even 12 hours later, kolzman shelo yishan. Right, as long, because for the rush, it's very mechanical. Right, Yoni. Right. What do I mean by that? Right. So therefore, if you go to sleep. Oh, exactly right. So, the Rush has a very mechanistic understanding of how Birchas HaTorah works and why you don't have to worry too much about a hefsek, right? Right, because that's his understanding. Go ahead. Okay. How do you think that question started?
Brothers, no?
Uncle. Oh. The Ri's mother was Rabbeinu Tam's sister. Where do we know that from? That's the famous Tosfos about Aninus. Right? The view of Rabbeinu Tam when his sister passed away, that since he wasn't the one, and we just talked about Aninus, Rabbi Salovsky, sure, since he wasn't the one who was tasked with, you know, involving himself with the mace, that his view was that he wasn't Betorah Saninus. He lived in a different city. Okay, we don't really pass in that way, but just see, I mean, you know, basic thing. So the Ri asked Rabbeinu Tam, the question probably started with the word uncle. Okay? Right, so we know that Achila Sarai is theoretically mutter outside of the Sukkah. Varen was Machmir, of course. So the Ri wanted to say to uncle, right? Gzeira Mishuma Insomniacs. It's the famous Gzeira Mishuma Insomniacs, okay? But the Rabbeinu Tam said, nephew, Gzeira Mishuma Insomniacs, you know, my God, what are you saying? So it's not a question of, you don't want to make a possible bracha levatala because maybe you'll have insomnia, you won't be able to fall asleep. Right, that Rabbeinu Tam thought that was, you know, a little silly. So Rabbeinu Tam says, no, the way that the mitzvah of sukkah is structured is, it's
poiter.
What's that?
Right,
so what do we say about duality of light, right? That it's, you know, it's these waves, but it also has particle dimensions. So the mitzvah of sukkah has particle dimensions, right? So the way that we organize the mitzvah of sukkah is around, not shena, but basically achila. You see, the Rambam totally disagreed with this. That's a different story in its own, right? Okay? It's the Rambam shita about the mitzvah of sukkah is, more based on teshu kei taduru. That was the thought that Rabbeinu Tam had. Okay, so let's go a little bit further. Okay, so once again, so kol shekain, right, all the more so, right, when it comes to sukkah, it's sort of a halachic reality, that the way that we organize the mitzvah of sukkah is that we're koveya the bracha b'shas achila, exactly right, and everything else is going to revolve around that orbit. But Kol Shekein, when it comes to Talmud Torah, when there was no X to begin with, there's no Hefsek. Good, David. Excellent. Way to follow the train of thought. Since there was no Hefsek to begin with, of course, there will not be a new bracha. So let's say over the Kal V'chomer, according to Rabbeinu Tam. The Kal V'chomer goes like this. When it comes to Sukkah, the reason that you don't make a bracha on Shena, not like my nephew that rethought Gzeira Mishum HaInsomniacs, was because... exactly, is that we subsumed it halachically under the basic category of Achila B'Sukkah. Now, why that should be is a very interesting topic in Hilchos Sukkah. Right? It's really not clear that it should be that way. I already alluded to the fact that the Rambam didn't understand it that way. But, that's not our topic for now. But if in that case, where there's a legitimate hefsek, right? But we've just, halachically speaking, structured the mitzvah around achila, right? And not just achila sarai, but achila kavua in a sukkah. So then we'll accept that certain other things, whether it's shena or tiyul, are going to be subsumed under that. So when it comes to Talmud Torah, where there's no hefsek to begin with, because, again, the Rosh is operating within this framework of Rabbeinu Tam, is that some great surprise that he's operating within the framework of Rabbeinu Tam? Of course not. Why? What's that? Because he's in a direct line, right? The Rosh's Rebbe is the Maharam Rutenberg, and the Maharam Rutenberg learned under the Rav Yah, and the Rav Yah was a Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam, also the grandson of the Ravan. Okay, so in any event, so it's no surprise that he's operating within this general view of Rabbeinu Tam, and he says when it comes to Talmud Torah, this is what the Rosh's thought was anyway, that there really is no hefsek. V'haraya, if there's a hefsek, dehainu Ezra, what's the hefsek? Shinas keva al mitaso. That's a clearly definable hefsek, right? No football move was made, right? We can clearly establish that he came to, a full stop in motion, okay? So he's defined as, nifsak. So then a new bracha, of course, will be required. So again, that's the way that most people want to understand. If we have time, we'll come back to the rest of the Rosh. But let's read Tosos, okay? We have 10 minutes. Let's see what we can garner here. Tepler. Now let's get into Tosos. Does Tosos and the Rosh really say the same? Okay. Tosos. Okay. Tosos. Let's go. So let's say from Heisha read Lo Kaimlan Kosa Yerushalmi Hoil Gemara Shalano Lo Amaro Ain Tzarech La Alter Lo Mod. Okay, like the riff, fine. Ve'oda Fiul Lefiya Yerushalmi Davka Avaraba Dilo Hevi Ikar Bracha LeBirkas Torah Di Ikar Avaraba LeKriyat Shema Nikan Ve'Shvil Hi Eino Niftar BiBirkas Torah Ela Yomod Miyad Ve'Gam Lo Yasa Hesech Hadas Aval. Right, this is the famous issue. We're just coming at it through Derech HaKifin, right? Not through Re'iyas Pnei HaBayis. Right, so here you have, in terms of sukkah, you have a very similar idea, right? That there's a sha'a kivua lakach, and therefore each and every, that's what I called it, it has like the particle nature to it, right? Each single time that there's a sha'as achila kivua is going to be mechayev its own bracha. Let's just read a few more lines and then we'll discuss. V'im tamar... So Yishlomer the bracha da achilas shemvarach leishay potarto, right? That's Rabbeinu Tam. Inami gzera mishum. So that's the reason gzera mishum insomniacs, okay? V'hayomer Rabbeinu Tam. It should just be mitzvah balayla, right? Lo mod. She'ein tzarech levarech birchas haTorah. Good. Velo. So that's where Tosfos is going to draw the line. Yes, if it was mimitato balayla in the middle of the night, that would have worked, but not until the next day. Okay, very good. So, again, 98% of people will tell you, I haven't done a formal study, that there's no difference between the Rosh's answer and Tosfos' answer. But what's really interesting is if that's true, then there's something very important that's missing from Tosfos. Shemi?
Tosfos doesn't have the actual sleep making the hefsek.
Good.
He says that after you sleep, you still don't have to make one of the hefsek and chakras yet.
But he, right. So Tosfos says that the cutoff point is the next
day.
That's very different than the Rosh is Shinas Keval Mitaso. But now, once we have that, Shemi, as usual, outstanding. Shimmy, just bring us home now. There's an even more important... You picked up on the symptom, but what about in essence? You picked up on something critical, and I give you a lot of credit for it. But if you look at the language of the Rosh, actually, and again...
The Rosh is saying that this is because they're always focusing on Torah. Tosfos didn't say anything about that.
Good. What did Tosfos say? I know he didn't say anything about that. I don't want to overplay my hand here. I like it that you said that, but I want to be a little bit fair. He said something similar to that, but I think sufficiently different so as to make a distinction. Mazin umazin? Mabid umakshiv? Okay. Hair baron? Oh! Ah! Oh! You make a birchas haTorah on that. What did he mean? Right. The Rosh, you get this guy, he's running around, and Torah's always on his mind, and he's doing cardiothoracic surgery, and the nurse is saying, okay, be very careful, it's the left ventricle, and he's saying, left ventricle, ah, oh, that's molus, iter yad yamino. Ah. Right, so that's the Rosh. And then Memela, right, Shinas Keval Mitaso, is going to require a different bracha. But Tosfos used a different expression. Tosfos didn't say that you're always thinking about it. Oh, Akiva Hecher, say it louder. That there's no Yush Hadas. Even again, let's say you were thinking about, can Alonzo get to 50 homers? Okay? But let me borrow a concept from Elu Metzius. What are the two kinds of Yush?
Yush Midaas.
Yush Midaas. Yenison, just explain to us, what do we mean when we say Yush Shalom Midaas? What is that concept in Halacha, Yush Shalom Midaas?
Is that where the person, we assume the person is Miyash, even though he doesn't specifically...
Maybe what do we assume? It's not that we assume. Ephraim, what does Yishalom Midas mean? We don't care.
What he thinks.
He's soveach min hagagim, min hakarpefos, that he hasn't given up. It doesn't matter. If the object has entered a certain zone...
Sorry, right, you're not getting it.
Sorry. We've severed the connection between the individual and the chetza. That's what Yishalom Midas is all about. This is the parallel opposite of Yishalom Midas. What do I mean by that?
We don't care.
I don't care, right, if the person is saying, the only thing on my mind right now is whether or not Lieberman is going to get 7 seats or 8 seats. Guy says, it's the only thing on my mind right now.
Right.
I'm not thinking about Torah at all. It doesn't matter. Why? Because the Torah prescribes... Just like the Torah prescribed in Hilchos HaShabbos Aveda, that once the object fell into this kind of a river, we don't care whether you're screaming and you think you can still get it, there's Yishalom Midas. The Torah prescribed, V'agisa bo yomam balayla, we don't care subjectively what your thought pattern is.
Objectively,
there is no hefsek. There is no hefsek hadas. And therefore, if a person, this is a test case, literally went to sleep,
Shinas Kevel Mitaso. For the Rush, the answer is obvious. It's mechanistic. Were you thinking about Torah? Of course it's a hafzik. But Akiva, what would the Balei HaTosfos say?
Because objectively your thoughts have never altered from thinking about Torah. Even in your sleep, you're still thinking about Torah.
Not in your sleep, you're still thinking about Torah. No! No! That's not wrong. It's completely wrong. Jimmy!
Because you still know what you learned, even after you wake up.
It doesn't matter what you think.
Ephraim!
Your state of being is defined by Talmud
Torah. Of course, for that in that unit of time called Yomam Valayla, Vagisabo Yomam Valayla. There's a unit called Yomam Valayla. For that period of time, one Berachas HaTorah means you could be thinking about anything in the world. You could be thinking about nothing. You could be asleep. We could hook you up to one of those sleep apnea clinics, and it's clear. It says on the thing. It says, Friedman is not thinking. He's not thinking at all. He's not dreaming. He has no thoughts, okay? He's nothing. There is nothing happening here, okay? There's nothing. This is an empty. It's an empty vacuole. This is a lysosome, okay? There's nothing behind it. It doesn't matter, okay? It doesn't matter, okay? Because just like there's a concept of Yehosh Shalomidas here, it doesn't matter what you're thinking or not. Eino miyayish da'at menu, and that is the unique chiyuv of Talmud Torah. The Talmud Torah is mechayiv you bal torchach, right? And it involves you in Torah, but only in quantitative units of yomam dehainu, that the next morning
you have to make another
bracha again. Okay? That's the way that the Balei HaTosfos are very different, in my opinion, and the Rush. Most people don't think so. They think that Eilam Yashtata means the same thing that the Rush meant. Okay, that the Rush meant that when you're, you know, running around, literally Mimarim, it's a way you could mnemonic to remember it, when you're rushing around to, you know, do your things, so you're thinking about Torah all the time, right? So then you should be chayiv in a different bracha, right, once you go to sleep, Shinas Keva. For the Balei HaTosfos, it seemed more locked into these, you know, it's kind of parallel if you think about it, to the Rambam's definition of Avda B'chol Avacham, that every single day there's a new Chi of Daraisa of Tfilah. So, you know, your life is divided into these days. And each day, there appears to be a Chi of it's unique Chi of Talmud Torah that exists that day that requires a bracha. We'll talk about what the nature of the requirement of the bracha is according to the Rambam a little bit later in the week. A lot to say about that. But that entire day, even if there's a clear Hesei Chadas, there isn't going to be a chiyuv. There is not going to be a chiyuv for a new bracha. Okay, so that would be a very important distinction. Just to finish off, I want to make sure that we read these lines about Sarfatim Nagu Lomar Psukim. Right, the Berkas Kohanim Elu Dvarim Shein Lam Shior Shei Mishna Reelu Dvarim Shadam Vachol Perasim Lamazeh. That's the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Chav Zayin. Rimnei Yerushalmi. They were choshes for Yerushalmi. Hu Shashina Latar. So they wanted to have all the different. Chadri HaTor in, Aval Ein Sarach Kamosha Gesavti Kvar, but Tosfos is pretty convinced that would just be true of Ava Rabba, that we reject that in terms of Birchas HaTor itself. So just so that you're not wondering what your daily practice is coming from, that's where your daily practice comes from in terms of having Psukim and Mishnah and Gemara. Again, the main point being here that there's just a fundamental difference as to whether you relate to the Hefsek issue as one of Hesei Chadas, which I think is very clearly the position of the Rush, or do you take a look at the language here, the Balei HaTosfos, and the Balei HaTosfos say, contra sukkah, which is a very, right, it's a stratified mitzvah. Everything has to do with achila b'shah kavua. Talmud Torah, the nature of the chiyuv is just completely different. And because the nature of the chiyuv is totally immersive, v'agisabo yomam v'alayla, no matter what you're doing subjectively, the objective nature of the chiyuv continues uninterrupted all day long, even if we can absolutely prove that you were not thinking about Torah. We can absolutely prove that by virtue of the fact of Shinas Keva al Mitaso. Okay? Adkan. We'll take a couple questions. Just want to mention, tomorrow I want to deal with the Ramban's perspective. I want to deal with a very fascinating point that emerges from the Ramban. Then we're going to get into Shitas HaRambam, God willing, on Wednesday. Try to develop a little bit about what the Rav said about that. Yenison.
Vada it was called by the also like in the you know Vada it was called by the made by the case of what's called by Yashi and Balai. That the text would also be behind the prayer of terror if you were in Shina Balai.